Welcoming to Bhakti Sangha Japa Group. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Sachipran Gaurhari Das Prabhuji on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat 1. Adikhand chapter 1.64 verse. Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Can you hear me, Mataji? Is my audio okay?
Yes.
Wow, Prabhuji. Today it is very nice, Prabhu. Very loud and nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mataji. It's all
Thank
your
you very mercy. Much, Prabhuji. Dandvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Srila Guru and Gauranga. Thank you very much for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. I now hand over to you the call. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. My sincere respects and gratitude to Her Grace Kitya Sundari Mataji for giving me this opportunity today to speak a few words on the most exalted scripture, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Personally, I'm not qualified, I have no knowledge, but taking the instruction of Kitya Sundari Mataji, I'll try to speak a few words today. So we'll start with our Mangalacharan prayers. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितां तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावतूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सगन ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमो ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरंगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणामामि हरिप्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे हरेर्नाम हरेर्नाम एव केवलम कलौ नास्ति एव नास्तेव नास्तेव गतिरन्यदा मूकं करोति वाचलं पंगुं लंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं परमानंद माधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरम् Once again, my humble obeisances to all the devotees assembled on this call. So we'll be reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat today. Adikanda, chapter 1, verse 64.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Kaura Bhakta Vrinda. जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय कौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय कौर भक्त वृंद
हरे कृष्ण Chapter 1, verse 64.
Sheshabai samsare ra gati nahiyara Anantera name sarva jivera uddara.
This series of very beautiful verses. In this verse, it's being said that Lord Anantasesh, Lord Anantadev, who is known as Shesha, because he alone ends our passage through this material world. Shesha by Samsarara Gati Nahiyara. Beyond Shesha, other than Shesha, there is no gati to cross over this samsar. Very beautifully explained. Shesha bhai samsarera gati na hiyara. Other than Shesha, there is no other way to cross over this material world. Anantera name sarva jivera uddara. Anantera nama sarva jivera uddara. The jiva uddar, the liberation of the deliverance of the jiva is possible simply by chanting the holy name or the glories of Anantadev. So the translation is, Lord Anantadev is known as Shesha, the unlimited end, because he alone ends our passage through this material world. By chanting his glories, everyone can be liberated. One may refer to the purport to verse 46 for the meaning of the word Shesha. The word Bai means without or beyond. Shesha Bai Samsarera Gati Nayara. So without the shelter or protection of Anantadev, one cannot cross over the material world. The word Gati refers to the means of ending material life, the solution to end the material life. For the meanings of the word Sarva Jivara Uddar, one may refer to the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 26, first half of verse 8, quoted in the purports of verses 14, 18, 21, and as well as the translation of Srimad Bhagavatam 6:16, 44. So once again, without Anantadev, the mercy of Anantadev, one cannot cross this material world. Anantadev Shesha alone can end our passage through this material world. And Anantera Name Sarva Jivera Uddar, by chanting the holy names, the glories of the Lord, everyone can be liberated. So I was reading the previous verses also, and this verse is in continuation to the last two verses spoken by Mataji yesterday. So I'll just cover only verse 64 today, because again 65 and 66, they are like one set. So I'll just speak a little bit on verse 64 today. So for us as sadhakas, our ultimate goal is prema, loving devotional service to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. The path of bhakti, it is explained that it is categorized into three stages: sambandha, abhideya, prayojan. Sambandha is a stage or process where we establish our relationship with Krishna, we understand our relationship with Krishna. Jivera Swarupahoi Nityera Krishnadas. And then the next stage is Abhideya. Now that we understood our sambandha with Krishna, what is the next step? Abhideya. Acting in that relation, serving the Lord. It may be mechanically, but still Abhideya means to serve the Lord. Acting in that relationship. And then finally, the final stage is prema. The prayojan, sambandha abhideya prayojan. Prayojan, that stage is loving devotional service to Krishna. Prema pumarto mahan, that is the mood, that is the feeling of Sri Mahaprabhu, that the ultimate artha. There is chatur, we know there are four purusharthas, but the panchama purusharta, the topmost is prema, and that is the mati of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, based on the verse that we read today and the previous two verses also, these verses are focusing on two main things. At least the today's current verse is talking about the material world, how to cross over this material world, and also the holy name, the glories of the holy name of the Supreme Lord. So, I will talk on these two areas mainly, about the material world, the contamination that we have to go through, or all of us experience as part of living in this material world. And then also I'll talk briefly about the holy name as well. So this material world, unfortunately, it is made in such a way, whoever comes into the association of this material world, comes into this material world, they get contaminated. They get contaminated. Whether they want or not, they get contaminated. And because of this contamination, we end up being in this cycle of birth, death, old age, disease. And we take birth in various species. It is very difficult to get out of this cycle because of all the contamination. Even if one tries to endeavor, still because of associating with this material world, you know, we have to endure this contamination. And Srila Prabhupada also says that there are four defects that living entities are attached with. They have four defects. The living entities have four defects. The conditioned soul has four defects. We know them. The mistakes are, the defects are to commit mistake, to become illusioned, the propensity to cheat, and finally, the senses which are very imperfect. So with these four defects, it becomes even more difficult for us to not get contaminated, not get under the influence of this material nature. And in the section of the Srimad Bhagavatam that was suggested in the purport, there was explanation of various planets, hellish planets, that one has to go if they commit sin. You know, just as in this world, when one does something wrong, when one does something that is against the rules, against the law, then they have to go to jail. They have to be behind the bars in the prison if they break the laws. Simply, it's very easy to go to jail. Simply commit any crime, simple crime, you will end up going to the jail. Immediately the police will come. Either the cops will be informed by someone, or there's an alarm that goes off and the cops will come and catch and put us in the jail. And just because one does not get caught, or just because one has lived a pure life or a sinless life, crimeless life, you know, it does not mean that jail does not exist. Jail exists. So an intelligent man, just by hearing about jail and about the punishment that is given there, he will try his best to follow the laws. He will try his best to abide by the laws. Similarly, the hellish planets are also, they also exist. And these planets are described in the scriptures elaborately. And one who follows the laws of scriptures can escape from these hellish planets. And similar, just as how, let's say if we go on, if you are driving on the road, if you are following the traffic rules, we are not stopped. But let's say if you are not following the traffic rules, we are talking on the phone while driving, or we are texting while driving, or we don't keep a, wear our seat belt while driving, or the kids are not in the child protective seats, you know, or let's say if the tail lights are not working, you know, things like if you are speeding. So there's so many traffic rules, and if we don't follow, then immediately we get caught, and depending on the severity of the law that we break, we may have to go to jail. Similarly, based on the sinful activities that one commits in this material world, they have to go to hellish planets. They have to suffer in the hellish planets. So in our scriptures, our acharyas explain that this world is compared to a jail. Not the physical jails that we see in the material world, but this entire material world is a jail. That's why one of the names for this material world is Durga, ruled by Durga Devi. Durga. Durga is the controller of this jail called Durg, the material world of Durg. Now, because jail means miseries, or hell means miseries, and we can see that miseries are there everywhere in this world. Right? Wherever we go, there is misery. We cannot say that there is a place anywhere in this world where there is no misery. Maybe the kids may say that Disney World or, you know, some parks like that are fun, but it's not true. There is also so much suffering there too. It's just that we don't see it. And this suffering is more in the hellish planets. So there is suffering in this material world, in this earth, in this life there is suffering, but there is suffering beyond this life also. So let's say, for example, if somebody murders another person, then what happens? According to the law, that person, the murderer, will be caught and he will be put in jail. And it may be lifelong sentence where they have to stay in the jail forever, or they may be hanged to death. Depending on the country, the rules are different, but the sum and substance is that they will be punished for the sin that they have committed. So depending on the sin, the punishment is also awarded. The extreme of the punishment is also depends on the sin. So there is punishment in this material world, there is misery in this material world. Similarly, there is misery in the hellish planets also. There is more misery in the hellish planets. Like in the prisons, you know, not all the prisoners are put in a similar cell, in a similar room. Depending on the severity of the punishment, they are put in different rooms. In some cases, the hands of the prisoners are tied. The hands and legs of the prisoners are tied. If the jail authorities feel that the person is may injure himself or he may injure someone else, in that case, the prison authorities will actually tie the hands and legs of that person. So like this, the punishment is different depending on the severity of the sin. Same way in the hellish planets also. Depending on the type of sins that we commit in this material world, we have to suffer. There is one suffering in this life, and then there is suffering beyond this life also. So all of this is, you know, very beautifully explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, especially in the fifth canto, in the chapters where the purport was referring to. All of this was very explained, very nicely explained. So Srila Prabhupada, he explains in various places in Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavad Gita also. Srila Prabhupada explains why a living entity gets punished. The main reason is the desire for enjoyment. The living entity develops a desire, coming into this material world, develops a desire to enjoy. Enjoy independent of Krishna. That is the problem. Krishna is Satchitananda Vigraha. He is Ananda. He is full of bliss. He is always happy. We never see Krishna crying. Right? Krishna is always happy, playing with his Gopa friends, Gopi friends, the cows, you know, in Vrindavan. He is Govardhan. Always, he is very happy. Similarly, we are his Amsha. We are Krishna's parts and parcels. So we also inherit the same attributes. We are also always seeking happiness. But we are seeking happiness in the wrong place. We are seeking happiness in this material world where there is no possibility to be happy. So when we try to enjoy, when we try to seek happiness independent of Krishna, then we end up committing sinful activities. And we may feel that, you know, we are not committing any sinful activities. But as soon as we look away from Krishna, as soon as we start desiring to enjoy independent of Krishna, immediately it becomes sinful. The thought, the words, the activities, all of it becomes sinful. And this is what causes contamination. All of these thoughts or desires to enjoy independent of Krishna, these cause contamination. And over the course of time, the living entity living in this material world, they perform so many activities. And most of the time, or almost all of the time, it is away from Krishna. It is independent of Krishna. It is without the mood of bhakti. It is without the concept of abhideya. Most of us, as part of this sadhaka process, we all know our relationship with Krishna. That is the first step. We all at least have a theoretical understanding of our relationship with Krishna. Sambandha is mostly there. At least little bit it is there. Now the next step is to act in that relationship. But unfortunately, the jiva living in this material world, because of the contamination in this material world, they don't remember Krishna. They act independent of Krishna. They don't follow the process of abhideya. And because of that, they incur sin and they commit a lot of unlawful activities, sinful activities. See, when a child grows up, when he is very small, you know, he does not commit any mistakes. He generally listens to the parents. He makes sure, you know, he follows the instructions and he does not commit any mistakes. Like, let's say if you are going for a walk, I mostly see, you know, all the children, they are walking on the sidewalk carefully. But it's only the adults, they walk wherever they want. So the children, they don't commit mistakes. They try to follow the instructions properly. You know, even when they get in the car, they first sit in their car seat and they wear their seat belt. You know, and I've seen children actually telling their parents, "Oh, dad, you are not wearing your seat belt. Please wear." Or if the driver, the mother or father, if they're driving fast, the kid will say, "I think you're going too fast. You should slow down." You know, so the children, they very easily follow rules. They don't make mistakes. But unfortunately, as they grow, as they live in the association of this material world, they start making small mistakes. And especially when they start going to the school, college, and eventually going to work, you know, they end up committing more and more mistakes. Their consciousness gets polluted. Their selfishness increases. They develop all sort of anarthas in their heart. And they develop the tendency, the propensity to cheat increases. And they start cheating others just so that they can be happy. And whatever ideals or whatever principles they used to follow when they were small, they forget all of them. They give up all of their good principles they used to follow in the childhood, and they start committing mistakes. So this is how the material world is created. The material world is created in such a way that anybody who comes into this material world, as time passes by, one is forced to live a sinful life. It's very difficult to escape. It's very difficult to escape from committing sins. Only by the association of devotees, the two high class, pure devotees, who are very strong in their bhajan, who are doing a very strong sadhana, who are very attached to Sri Sri Radha Krishna, only in their association, by their vani, we can protect ourselves. If not, there is no other way. So that is the contamination that's being explained in this material world. And one may argue that, you know, that I may be doing something wrong, but I'm not aware. Or one may say that what is wrong in enjoying or, you know, acquiring things that will make us happy? What is wrong in this? So the problem is that acquiring things, trying to stay happy, be happy, enjoy, you know, this process of trying to enjoy actually has miseries embedded in them. The process of the endeavor to enjoy and miseries, they go together. They are like two tires of a cycle. They go together. You cannot separate. They are together. One may say that I don't know that this is a sin, but it does not matter. Whether you know whether it's a sin or not, you know, if you put our hand in the fire, whether one knows that fire is hot or not, it doesn't matter. The hand will get burnt. The punishment is there. So if a person commits crime, it is explained that he is actually suffering even before committing the crime. Because before he commits the crime, there is a planning phase. Right? The person who is committing the crime has to plan for the crime. How to execute it. He has to acquire things to commit the crime. So recently I was reading an article in California. There is smash and grab. It's a new theft that is happening where a group of people, they enter a store, they break open the whatever shelves are there and they steal, grab things and they run. So this is called smash and grab. And especially they target high-end store where there are locks placed for some high-end goods. So to break open the locks, they need hammers. So there was an article which was saying that the thieves actually, they entered a Home Depot and they stole hammers. Hammers and daggers or whatever they need to break into high-end stores, they actually store those. So to commit a crime, they actually did another crime. So there is a crime being committed before the original crime itself. So before the crime is committed, there is already crime being committed. So this is a very good example that there is a planning phase. You know, there's so many, just the desire to commit a crime itself causes so much contamination. The crime starts happening as soon as we start thinking of committing a crime. And even though the person may plan very carefully not to get caught, plan carefully to avoid being seen, not to leave any trace behind, still eventually he will get caught. Like recently we are seeing so much crime that is happening, unfortunately, especially even in US also, not just outside US, even in US there's so much crime. And most of the time the culprit is wearing a mask or some type of shield to hide his face, but somehow they get caught. And that too very quickly. These days, the person who commits the crime is getting caught very quickly. So they will get caught and they will be punished. So the person who is committing a crime, he is actually suffering even before committing the sin itself. So there is, before committing the sin, he is suffering due to anxiety or due to planning or due to acquire things to commit the crime. In that way, he is suffering. And during the crime itself, he is suffering just to make sure he is not being observed or he does not get caught. You know, he is suffering in that while committing the crime. And then after the crime also, he suffers. Because there is a lot of mental anxiety. Now that I have committed the sin, now that I have, let's say, robbed a bank, now he will always be in mental anxiety. Maybe somebody will come and catch me. He will try to hide the cash or whatever. You know, he will try to, he is under a lot of mental anxiety. He is suffering after committing the sin also. And let's say if he gets caught, then there is more suffering. Like this, there is always suffering. If one commits a sin, there is suffering. Immediately they are put into misery. Before, during and after, there is misery. And not just in this life. The miseries will happen even in the next life also. The miseries are there even in the after this life also. They'll have to suffer in the hellish planets. In this life, they may suffer by going to the prison, and in the next life, they may have to go to hell. They may have to go to hell to suffer punishment there also. So that's why it's very important that whatever activities we do, we have to make sure that our activities are geared towards the progress of our bhakti. Because the sin is always with us. The reactions of the sins are always with us. They may be in a seed form, they may be in a fruit form, or they may have fructified also. The reactions are always there with us. The only way we cannot go through this suffering process is by taking to the path of bhakti, sincerely practicing bhakti, not just taking to the path of bhakti, but sincerely practicing the rules, the instructions that are given to us. And some people may say, I do not know that doing such and such thing is a sin. Like we have four regulative principles, right? So somebody may say, I do not know. But actually, if we see, there are scriptures everywhere in the world. Wherever we go, there are scriptures. The religion may be different, the local language may be different, but generally there is rules of what to do and what not to do. And one may say that they do not know, but they cannot escape. They immediately have to suffer for the mistake that they are doing. So the essence is, when we try to enjoy independently from Krishna, there is misery. This is the bottom line. We don't have to analyze more than this. If we are doing any activity independent of Krishna, then we will definitely suffer. So anywhere in this world we may go, but there is suffering. Even in from India, let's say if somebody is in a village in India, they may think that I will grow up and I will go to America, I will earn a lot of money and I will enjoy, I will live happily, I won't feel sorrow anymore. But that's not true. All of us are in the United States, or at least most of us are in the United States, and we know there is so much suffering. And now with COVID, there is true suffering visible everywhere. Wherever we go, there is true suffering. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that this world is Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. Krishna says that this world is Dukkalayam, full of misery. And then it is Ashashvatam, temporary. We may say that, you know, I will live forever, happily ever after. But that's not true. There is no ever after, and there is no happiness also. There is always sorrow. Definitely we may go through a phase where there is happiness, but it is temporary, ashashvatam. Some people may say it is exaggeration. You are exaggerating things. You are exaggerating that this world is full of sorrow. But based on our scriptures, based on our acharyas, it is not exaggeration. Because we personally, physically, we can see, we can experience that there is sorrow everywhere. Sorrow may exhibit itself in different ways. Not everyone may go through the same type of sorrow. A poor man may be sorrow because, may be going through sorrow because he does not have money. And somebody who is rich may go through another sorrow of hunger, because he has some health defect because of which he is not able to eat the food that he wants to eat. And somebody may have a desire to study a lot, but they don't have eyes. So that's another suffering. So different types of sufferings are there. I heard one lecture recently. In that, Prabhuji was explaining that when he was in IIT, there was another student who got second rank in all of IIT, and that child committed suicide. Why? Because he was not happy. Imagine anyone in India, they would just be happy to get into IIT. Now this child worked hard, he got into IIT, he completed all the education, and he scored the second rank. But still, he was not happy. Dukkalayam. He committed suicide and he ended his life. And the same way, one may achieve the first rank. Or we can take our own example. You know, when we start off working, we make X amount of dollars. And then we are happy for some time. And then immediately we start desiring more salary. Then we work hard, get a promotion or do a job change. And then we get more money. And then again after some time, we feel, oh no, that such and such person is getting more salary than me. So now I should also get more. Like that, there is no satisfaction. There is always desire to seek happiness more and more. Or respect, remuneration. And all of this will never make us happy. Because all of these thoughts, all of these activities are independent of Krishna. And these activities end up putting us in situations where we commit sins. And then when we commit sins, we have to endure the reaction. We have to endure the suffering. Srila Prabhupada tells in various places in the scriptures that this material world is like a desert. And happiness in this material world is like the mirage. A foolish animal looks at the mirage from a distance, looks at the hot sand from a distance. And because of the way the desert is, the air and the sun, the animal thinks that there is water a little bit ahead. And because of the foolishness of the animal, it runs after the mirage. And what happens? It ends up dying out of thirst. It ends up leaving its body. So same way, Srila Prabhupada says that this material world is also like that. We may feel that there is happiness. There is some way to enjoy in this material world. But ultimately, there is no true happiness. We only end up getting frustrated. So the happiness in this world is temporary and illusory. And you know, we have to seek for happiness that is permanent, that is long lasting. Let's say we have a choice to buy a house or to rent a house. What would we prefer? We would prefer buying a house. Because renting a house, it's not guaranteed, you know, that the that our owner may kick us out anytime. Right? The owner may kick us out anytime. We may do an agreement for 6 months or 1 year, but there may be a reason why the owner may want us to leave the apartment, whatever the reason may be, whether there is damage that needs to be repaired or the owner wants to do something else with the building, whatever it is, you know, there is no guarantee in a rental property. Well, let's say if we have our own home, then it's a permanent facility and we can get more happiness from our own home. So, so the permanent happiness is what we should seek for, not the temporary temporary flickering happiness that we see in this material world. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita also, Adiyantavanta Kaunteya Nateshu Ramate Buddha. Adi Anta. Those pleasures, those activities that have beginning and ending, Buddha, a wise, intelligent person, na ramate, he does not enjoy. He does not take pleasure in participating in such activities or in such pleasures. A Buddha or a wise man only seeks permanent happiness. So in this world, there is no permanent happiness if we are seeking happiness independent of Krishna. And Krishna also says that this world is illusory. You know, sometimes we have a dream. In a dream, we may be thinking of, you know, that we got a lottery, we have so much money, or whatever the desire is. One may think that, you know, they became a CEO, whatever it is. But when they wake up, they realize that it is not true. especially children, they get lot of funny dreams, and when they wake up, they realize that it is not true. So sometimes they want to cook, children want to cook, you know, and then, but we know that if they cook, it will be a big mess. So what we do, we give them a toy kitchen where they can play and they can make believe cooking, you know, like that they can enjoy. So that is temporary happiness and illusory happiness. So we should also understand that this world is temporary, this world is illusory. Whatever happiness we try to get from this material world independent of Krishna, it is not going to keep us happy. Like some people, they take alcohol, drugs, you know, especially when Srila Prabhupada came to this material world, sorry, to the West, you know, when he started preaching, setting up his con and growing the congregation. At that time, a lot of people, at that time, the hippies, they were all into drinking alcohol, drugs, you know, all bad activities. But Prabhupada told them that these are temporary. These are all illusion. You cannot get real happiness by doing these activities. You should all attempt to seek real happiness. And that too at the right place. That's how Srila Prabhupada was able to attract so many people. And how can one get happiness, real happiness? By taking to the path of bhakti. There is no other way. And in the process of, in the path of bhakti, we serve others selflessly. We serve Krishna, and by serving Krishna, we serve others. Like say prasadam distribution. Prasadam is food that is offered to Krishna. And now when we distribute it, we are serving others also. So that is selfless service. We see, we hear that the spiritual, this material world is a perverted reflection of this, of this, the material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So what happens in the spiritual world? In the spiritual world, everyone is trying to please Krishna. They don't have independent agenda. They don't have desire to enjoy independently. Their enjoyment is in keeping Krishna happy. Now, coming to this material world, what is material world? It's a perverted reflection. It is the opposite of what happens in the spiritual world. That is why here, everyone is selfish. Everyone wants to enjoy independently. Everyone wants to enjoy independent of Krishna. That is why there is unhappiness. If we serve Krishna selflessly, then we will be able to be happy. Whether we are in the material world or whether we are in the spiritual world, we will be happy. But if we try to enjoy independent of Krishna, then we will suffer. Srila Prabhupada explains that the closest form of love and affection that devotees experience with Krishna is found in the relationship between a mother and a child. A mother takes care of the child tirelessly. Even in the middle of the night, if the child is crying, the mother wakes up, feeds the child, cleans the child. If there is a need for changing the diaper, the mother takes care of it. Even if it's in the middle of night, whether irrespective of whether the mother is tired or not, she serves the child tirelessly. And in this, she feels happy. By serving the child, the mother feels happy. But there is one unfortunate situation with this also. What is that? Unfortunately, this happiness also has an end. Adi Anta. There is Adi and there is Anta. There is beginning and there is end. In this pleasure of the mother serving the child, taking care of the child, upbringing the child tirelessly, there is Adi and Anta. There is beginning and end here also. And what is the end? The end is that the child will eventually grow. The child will eventually grow up and he will either leave the parents, or the child will go out for studies or for job, and then eventually the relationship just fades away. So that is why the happiness that we find in this material world, though we may feel like it is really happy, but it is not happy. Happiness can be experienced only at the spiritual level. Even in Srimad Bhagavatam, we see this famous verse, Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yado Bhakti Radokshaje, Ahaituki Apratihata Yayatma Suprasidati. Yayatma Atma Suprasidati. How can one be pleased? How can one experience supreme happiness, permanent happiness? That is only possible when there are two things happening. Apratihata and Ahaituki. When one serves Krishna without any selfish motives, Ahaituki and Apratihata, no interruption. It's not that in the morning I will serve 1 hour and then I'll do whatever I want and then again in the evening I will serve 1 hour. That's it. That is bhakti. No, that is not paro dharma. The topmost dharma is not that. The topmost dharma is Ahaituki and Apratihata, uninterrupted service. Krishna also says in various places, in Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam, Satatam, always. And then Krishna also says, my devotees always speak about me. Ananyas Chintayanto Mam, Ananyas Cheta Satatam. Our consciousness should be Ananya. We should always be thinking of Krishna. If you are not able to think of Krishna, at least our activities should be in a way that we are able to connect our activities to Krishna. Our activities should be geared in a way that it is pleasing to Krishna. So, when we give away things that are in the lower modes, then we will be able to experience higher happiness. Let's say for us devotees, most of us or all of us love kirtan. And when there is nice kirtan going on, even if you are feeling hungry, we will not like to leave the kirtan. We would just sit in the kirtan. So the hunger, which is a kind of lower happiness, is given up when there is higher spiritual happiness. So we should always try to do activities in Krishna consciousness in relation to Krishna. That way we will be able to give up the lower modes. We will give up the contamination. We will be able to protect ourselves from the contamination of this material world, and we will be able to elevate ourselves. So we see in the olden days, or even sometimes even nowadays also, some people, they say that, you know, I see Krishna, especially in reference to the verse that was given as a reference in the Bhagavatam, the story of Chitraketu Maharaj. Chitraketu Maharaj is very beautifully, he's saying that by seeing you, all the contamination is removed. What about seeing you? Even just by chanting your holy name once or hearing your holy name once, all the contamination that one has accumulated is erased. One is purified of all the contamination. In the olden days and even nowadays also, some people, they say that, you know, I can see God. I can hear the ankle bells of Krishna. I can hear the flute of Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada, when devotees came and told this to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada was not very pleased with this. Srila Prabhupada said that if they have really heard Krishna's flute, or if they have really seen Krishna, if they saw Krishna, then they should not have any contamination. But in those days, those people who were claiming to have seen Krishna or heard the flute of Krishna, they were indulging in all nonsense activities like smoking cigarettes, eating onion, garlic, you know, all tamasic activities. So Prabhupada was not agreeing to their words that they saw Krishna. Even Srila Prabhupada also said that what to speak of common men, even our Goswamis, our six Goswamis, they never claimed that they saw the Lord. They were always running here and there, calling out to Radha and Krishna. We see in the Shad Goswami Ashtakam, it's very clearly written that He Radhe Vraja Devike Chalalite, He Nanda Suno Kutaha. Kutaha, where are you? Are you near Govardhan? Are you under the trees? Are you near the Yamuna? Where are you? So they were calling out to Radha Krishna. So when the Goswamis are themselves claiming to not have seen Radha Krishna, you know, it's really unfortunate to hear people claiming that they saw Radha Krishna. And in this verse, Chitraketu Maharaj is saying that what to have darshan of you. Just by hearing your name, hearing your glories, one can become purified. So we have to be very careful. We should not take these things that, you know, that I saw Krishna, I heard flute. You know, we should not take these things cheaply. Until we have attraction to this material world, until we have attraction to sense gratification, desire for name, prestige, we cannot claim to be advanced devotees. So, when we hear somebody speaking this, then we have to understand, is it, are they really saying the truth? We should not be fooled by such words. We have to take Shastra Praman. We have to understand. We have to see through the Shastra Chakshu, through the eyes of Shastras. Are they really behaving like a devotee? Are they really behaving like one who has seen the Lord? You know, even Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says that if you are interested in enjoying sense gratification, if you have desire to enjoy with your family, then please don't go to Mathura. In Mathura, there Govinda is present. And if you go there, then all your attachment to this material world will be eradicated. So that's why you better don't go, because you have so much attraction to this material world. So it's a fun way of saying that, you know, you have to get rid of all your attachments and go to Vrindavan. So, and Chitraketu Maharaj emphasizes, he does not say constant hearing. He says once, just once, sakrut. He uses this word sakrut. Just once, if somebody hears or chants the holy name of the Lord, especially he refers to a chandala. Chandala is the lowest among the mankind, among all classes, varnas in this classification of our human race. Chandala is the lowest. We know Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, but even lower than Shudra is Chandala. And Chitraketu Maharaj is saying that even a Chandala can be purified just by hearing your holy name. So we know, so we can understand how potent, how powerful this holy name is. And Srila Prabhupada says that especially in Kali Yuga, holy name is the only means of deliverance. And especially Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, came to this earth, to this world, in this Kali Yuga, and his main purpose, one of the main purposes, or at least the externally evident main purposes, is to inaugurate the process of chanting the holy names of Krishna. And especially the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There are so many mantras. There are so many names of the Supreme Lord. But Mahaprabhu specifically gave this mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It is explained that Mahaprabhu, he has invested all his potencies in this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is what Mahaprabhu came to give. And Srila Prabhupada and our Acharyas, in the line of Mahaprabhu, they are just carrying forward this mantra. They are not inventing anything new. They are just giving the same mantra to all of us. And we can And we can see the potency or the purity of this mantra. We see how all the hippies in the Western world were converted, were transformed by this Maha Mantra, simply by Sankirtan. Srila Prabhupada, he started a movement with two things, Prasadam and Sankirtan. Prabhupada did not preach philosophy in the beginning. He did not give big lectures in the beginning. Srila Prabhupada simply started the movement with Sankirtan and Prasadam. And that's what brought purification in all of these Westerners. And we can see that happening even today around the world. And this process is bona fide. One may say that, you know, this is cooked up, this is something that only ISKCON is preaching. But that's not true. In all the sampradayas, the holy name is glorified. It is emphasized. And the scriptures that our acharyas quote are not specifically for Gaudiyas. Kalisantara Upanishad, it is not a Gaudiya Siddhanta. It's not a Gaudiya scripture. Svetasvatara Upanishad, all these Puranas, all the Upanishads that our acharyas quote in as a reference for the glory of a holy name, these are for every sampradaya. It is not just for our Gaudiya sampradaya. And the shastras, in the shastras, we see there are so many paths, right? There is karma kanda, gnana kanda, ashtanga yoga, dhyana yoga, so many paths. But there is time, place, circumstance for everything. And especially in the current yuga, the Kali Yuga, the only prescribed means is chanting of the holy name. That's the only way we can overcome the ill effects of Kali Yuga. So let's say if it is raining outside, okay, and if we want to go outside, we cannot just walk out like that because we will get drenched in the rain and we don't have the capacity to stop the rain. We don't have the capacity to push the cloud away or build a roof that covers the entire, that blocks the entire sky. That's not possible, right? So what do? We carry an umbrella. We carry an umbrella with us to protect ourselves from getting wet, from getting affected by this downpour, the rain. So in the same way, our acharyas explain that this Kali Yuga is actually a downpour of contamination. There is contamination everywhere. Just like how sun rays are spread everywhere, the sunlight is spread everywhere. Same way, because of the effects of Kali Yuga, there is contamination everywhere. All sorts of activities that we try to perform have contamination in them. And by us living in this Kali Yuga, we also automatically get contaminated. We cannot escape. See, even to perform a simple puja, worship, it is very difficult to obtain pure ingredients. The cotton that we use, the ghee that we use, the milk that we use, the honey that we use, the sugar that we use, all the paraphernalia that we use, there is some or the other way they are contaminated. So this Kali Yuga, even the food that we eat, it is contaminated. So anything that we see from morning to evening, whatever activities that we perform in our life, it is contaminated. The air that we breathe, it is contaminated. So it is very difficult to protect ourselves from this downpour of contaminations in this Kali Yuga. But there is one solution. And the only solution, the only umbrella to protect ourselves from this downpour of contamination is the umbrella of holy name. So Brahma, Brahmaji, he tells Narada Muni in the Kalisantaran Upanishad that Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Iti Shodha Shakam Nam Nam, Kali Kalmasha Nashanam, Natha Parata Ropaya, Sarva Vedeshu Drushyate. Sri Brahmaji, he explains that this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it's especially meant for Kali Kalmash, for counteracting the contaminations of this Kali Yuga. And there is no other. Natha Parata Ropaya. there is no paratara upaya. There is no better or alternative solution than the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And Narada Muni further asked, "Oh Brahmaji, oh dear father, are there any rules and regulations for this chanting? Or is there, do we have to follow time, place, circumstance? Say for example, the Gayatri Mantra, when we chant, there are certain rules that we have to follow. You know, various rules. So we have to follow those rules. If not, the mantra will not be effective." So Narada Muni asked, "Are there rules that we have to follow for chanting the holy name?" And Brahma said, "No, there are no rules. One can chant anywhere, any place, and in any circumstance. Whatever condition, whatever situation they are in, one can always chant the holy name." And in this regard, there is one nice story that is always mentioned about Gopal Guru Goswami. When Gopal was a small boy, he was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to go to answer nature's call. And at that time, Gopal saw that Mahaprabhu was holding his tongue in between his teeth. He had his tongue like that. So Gopal was surprised, and Gopal asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Oh Mahaprabhu, what are you doing? Why are you biting your tongue? Why are you holding your tongue between your teeth?" And Mahaprabhu replied that, "Oh Gopal, I am addicted to holy name. I am addicted to chanting of the holy name. I cannot stop myself from chanting. But going to answer nature's call, it is an impure activity. So I was feeling that, you know, I should not chant while answering nature's call. So I am holding my tongue." But then Gopal asked, the little child Gopal, he asked, "Oh Mahaprabhu, that is very good. But what if you leave your body?" See, you know, we don't ask such questions to our seniors. You know, we'll be careful when we ask. But Gopal was very small, very young at that time. So Gopal asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Oh Mahaprabhu, what if you leave your body at that time? You know, you are holding your tongue and you leave your body. So what will be your destination at that time? What will be your gati at that time?" So then Mahaprabhu immediately hugged this little child Gopal. And he thanked Gopal for correcting him. And he said, "From today onwards, you are my guru." And this is how Gopal came to be known as Gopal Guru. This is a story through which Mahaprabhu wants to teach us that we should always chant. Mahaprabhu said, "Nam nam akari bahuda nijasarva shaktis tatrarpita niyamita smaranena kala. Tatrarpita niyamita smaranena kala." There is no niyam and there is no kala. There is no restriction according to time. One can always chant and remember Krishna's name. That's why Krishna also says, "Satatam kirtayanto mam." And it is only Krishna's name, it is not anyone else's name. Radha, Krishna or Vishnu Tattva, like that. It should not be some other demigod's name. It does not apply there. It is only for Krishna. And then also, in continuation to what Chitraketu Maharaj was saying, there is one beautiful verse that is spoken by Shukracharya. And I really like this verse. And recently, I heard this verse from Srila Radha Govinda Goswami Maharaj. That verse is, "Mantratas tantratas chidram desha kalartha vastutaha sarvam karoti nischidram anusankirtanam tava." So, in this verse, Shukracharya is saying that, "O Lord," and actually, this verse, when Srila Radha Govinda Goswami Maharaj was reciting, Maharaj was crying. Maharaj was in, I can see that Maharaj was feeling so much affection, so much ecstasy, so much gratitude to the Lord and to His holy name that he was not able to even utter this verse. Maharaj was speaking few words and then he was crying. And then again he was speaking few words and he was crying. So we can understand how much absorption, how much love and affection great devotees have for the holy name. So in this verse, Shukracharya is saying that, "O Lord, there may be defects in chanting the mantras or in performing regulative principles, in observing regulative principles. Mantratas tantratas chidram desha kalarha vastutaha. Desha kala patra, we hear this, desha kala patra, time, place, circumstance. So similarly here, Shukracharya is saying, there may be defects in regards to time, place, or circumstance, or the objects, ingredients, paraphernalia that is used in observing spiritual practices, yagna, in any kriya. Then he says, sarvam karoti nischidram, sarvam, everything, nischidram, everything becomes faultless. How? Anusankirtanam tava, by simply chanting your holy name, by simply chanting the holy name, one can purify anything, one can purify their own existence. So that is the glory of the holy name. So in this verse mainly, it's being, the main focus is about crossing this material world and the glories of the holy name. The glories of the holy name are unlimited because we have a time limit. I will end here. But all of us should make it a point that whatever activities we are performing in this material world, we are performing for the pleasure of Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas. If we are doing anything, any activity, and this is something all of us individually, we have to analyze. It is not something that our spiritual master will come and tell us. If we are living with the spiritual master, then definitely yes, the spiritual master will tell, will point and tell us. But since most of us are living away from the spiritual master, we have to proactively, diligently, we have to analyze every activity in our life and see that we are doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. It should not be anything away from Krishna. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says that Shadanga Sharanagati Hoibe Jahar Tahara Pradhana Sune Srinanda Kumar. When we surrender to Krishna and we perform all our activities in relation to Krishna, depending on Krishna, then only Krishna hears prayers of such a devotee. Tahara Pradhana Sune Srinanda Kumar. Only in that situation, Krishna will listen to the prayers of such a devotee. And this Hare Krishna Mahamantra is actually a prayer. So all of us are praying, all of us are chanting this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, but if we are not feeling at least a tinge of joy, then we have to analyze, we have to understand that we are doing something wrong. So it is individually, each of us have to help our own self first. If we don't help ourselves, then you know, we are lost. There is no way we can get out of this material world. So with that, I will end here. Thank you all for listening patiently and giving me this opportunity to speak some Harikatha and purify myself. I request and humbly beg all of you to please pray for me. Please pray for me so I can chant, I can improve my chanting and progress in the path of bhakti. Thank you all. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarupyascha kripa sindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Samaveta Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Okay, Mataji. No, Mataji. You can go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Bandhavatranam, Sadhguru Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhu. Such a beautiful, wonderful, and I should say such a practical class. You know, all the points that you mentioned are really very practical, and a person like me should try to imbibe each and every one of them. And the way you took us, that nobody will be left alone, from this sin, and then how this material energy works and how we are affected with the sins, but then ultimately bringing us to the point that glories of holy name can eradicate everything. So, and establishing the glories of holy name. So thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much. I know I gave you very less time. I gave you the words just last moment. But you really did a wonderful, you know, explanation, wonderful justice to these two verses. And these two verses are enough for a whole seminar. I do agree with that also, because the glories of the holy name are unlimited, and you know there are so much to speak. But thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for your wonderful, wonderful session. I really loved it today. Thank you, Prabhu. It was such a simple class, such easy, easy to understand. Difficult to imbibe, definitely, for a person like me, but it was very, very practical, very, very sweet class. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for the kind words, and thank you for giving me this opportunity. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Sri Guru and Gauranga. Very, very, very enlightening class and practical class, whatever the Mataji said. And this is a very, you talk about Sabandh, Abhidhaya and Prayojan, how to do the establish our relationship with Lord and how to serve the Lord and how to start the Prayojan, loving devotional service by that. And you also talk about four defects in human being, whatever we have, all the committing mistake, propensity to cheat, illusion, and imperfect senses. And how to, why the living entity punished. So you talk about three things, about to desire to enjoy independently by Krishna, of Krishna, and seeking happiness in the wrong place instead of Krishna, go to Krishna. So, and whenever we look ours than Krishna, from Krishna, then all the miseries and contamination is coming to us. So, and by that, we want to escape from them. It is very hard from this material world, but by the association of the pure devotees and them, and hearing them submissively, then we can get out from this. And then we, you talk about the other thing, that serving the Vaishnavas, so serving the others, and how come, how it is, it should be selfless. So when we do the selfless service to Krishna or the devotees, we can get happiness. And you also talk about the main thing, the chanting and hearing, to come out from this material world and from come out from these miseries. So it's really, really very, very nice. Only the shelter of Krishna and Vaishnavas and Guru, that is the main thing. And I should always take that, I take this lesson that I should always hear the Vaishnavas and chant very attentively so I can get out from these miseries. I am trying to do, Prabhuji, please bless me, that I can get out from this. So it's very, very enlightening class.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. You are very, very, very senior to me, Mataji. Not at all qualified, actually, even to speak as speak, but I only spoke because Kirtida Sundari Mataji instructed me. I will definitely pray, Mataji. You also please pray and bless me, Mataji, so I can improve in my bhakti. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. If anybody have any question, you can please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Sachi Gaur Pran Prabhuji, Koti Koti Danvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai Prabhuji, Hari Hari Gauranga. So sincerely you explained the class, Prabhuji, and all the small, small story. And even in Atlanta Panyati Dham, you are explaining, you are taking class so sincerely, Prabhuji. So much potency in your class, Prabhuji. We feel your sincerity. Koti koti dhanvat pranam Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev ki jai. Gopinath ki jai. Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Mataji, for your kind words. Mataji, I know you are very sincere and you are very senior to me. Please bless me, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
this issue now back to hands of parents, opening up the schools, ending these mask mandates. But I guess the college would be a non-parent, but they don't really acknowledge what happened.
He's gone. Gaurangi Mataji asking some question. I could hear something from her microphone. Gauranga Mataji, do you have question or is it unmuted by accident?
I have been unmuted. My thing was not unmuted. I don't think
okay,
so.
Okay, Mataji. Okay, sorry.
That's okay. But thank you so much, Prabhu, for the class. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mataji.
If anybody has any questions or so if there is nothing, no any questions, then thank you very much, Prabhuji, for enlightening the class today. And we are very, very grateful to you. And we are look forward to your association again, again, and again in future. So if there is no any questions, we can end the call here. Vancha kalpatarupyashtya kripa sindhu pyo yuvachya patitanam pavane pyo vaishnave pyo namo namaha. Shri Chaitanya Bhagavat ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His grace